Gather the Lord's house. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Good to gather in the Lord's house this day. And let me say, it's good to be here this Sunday.
Amen.
Many of you know I was not here last Sunday, was not feeling well. And thank you again. I've told her thank you many times this week. Thank you to Gay, who filled in so wonderfully last week. Jonathan came down to preach in my absence. And again, it's so wonderful to be able to leave and not be here and have so many faithful hands to be able to step up in his place. But it is good to be back here this Sunday morning as we gather this morning, remembering our saints for our All Saints observance this Sunday. And I just pray that the Spirit will move in our hearts and our memories this day. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us here at First Baptist. You decided to join us on a special day. If you have an opportunity, you can fill out a visitor's card and drop it in the offering plate following worship this morning. For those that are watching us this morning online on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us online this morning. I encourage you to also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource for our worship service today. If you're a first-time watcher online, thank you for joining us online today. Send me an email. Let me follow up with you this week and share what First Baptist Elon is all about. I do want to share with everybody, those watching online and those with us today, we have a full afternoon of ministry opportunities. Reminder to our ministry teams, church council meets this afternoon at 4 o'clock upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom. Look forward to meeting with our ministry team leaders this afternoon at 4. Then at 5 o'clock, all our age groups will be meeting. The adults will be continuing their Bible study, Half Truths, at 5 p.m. in the fellowship hall. Our children and youth will be meeting as well at that time this evening. Looking ahead to this week, you'll notice in your bulletin lots of things that are going on. First, I do want to remind you that we are a polling site here on Tuesday. So our church office will be closed this Tuesday because this will be a very busy place on Tuesday morning and Tuesday afternoon. I want to remind you that just because we're not here does not mean you can't get in touch with us. So on Tuesday, if you need to get in contact with one of us, please call us on our cell phone numbers. That's the best way to reach us. We will be around, but just call us that way. We'll be ready to meet any needs you might have. Tuesday morning, senior adults will be having breakfast at Grill Works at 9 a.m. That's open to anybody that wants to come. Wednesday, Golden Years Senior Center Bingo Ministry will take place. It's on Wednesday this week, not Tuesday. So anybody who would like to go to that ministry, talk to Sandy French this morning. And then Wednesday night, of course, our choir practices, handbells, and worship choir. Gay wanted me to remind everybody that this Sunday, today is the deadline to sign up for a senior adult luncheon. I know many of you have already signed up as well. It's going to be a wonderful time of fellowship around the table and music as well, because our very own Bert will be leading from the piano. And they've got lots of little things they're doing. I've heard whispering in the hallways, and that's always a dangerous thing, but I know it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you haven't signed up for our senior adult luncheon, I encourage you to do so. Get your name on that list. But get it on the list today. Also, I want to remind you, because Kramer asked me to share with this, we do have Brunswick students left. There's some upstairs in the fellowship hall. It is a wonderful batch. I can attest to that. I am a taste tester, and it is wonderful. If you would like some Brunswick stew, Kramer will be upstairs in the fellowship hall following worship. And for those watching online, if you would like some Brunswick stew, just contact the church, and we'll make sure we get that to you and come by and pick some up. Missions going on during the month of November, we have two things I want to point out this morning. The first thing is that we will be collecting snack items as we put together exam study bags, goodie bags for our Elon students. Our goal is to put together 70 bags as they prepare for the finals. And I know college students are here. I know you're not liking to think about finals. And I know my son is at Wilmington. He's not thinking about finals yet, but it will be arriving soon. So we're going to collect snack items, goodie things that we can put in those bags. There are containers upstairs in our communication center. During the month of November, drop some of those items off. The deadline to collect those are December 2nd. So pick up some of those things while you're at the grocery store over the next couple weeks. Also, you saw as you came down the hallway, the Salvation Army Angel Tree is up already. We have chosen 10 children to adopt this year. If you would prayerfully consider adopting one of those children and helping out those families during this Christmas season, stop by the Angel Tree this morning or in the next couple Sundays. Purchase those, take that tag home, write your name down beside that child's name and that number on that clipboard. Take that home with you, purchase some of those gifts and bring them back in early December. This is a wonderful way that we can help out in our community during this Christmas season. Finally, well, actually two things. The next two Sundays, we're going to have special worship services here at First Baptist. Next Sunday morning, we will be blessed by the musical gifts of the directors. They used to be the Directors Trio. I always want to say the Directors Trio, but it's a duo now. So the directors will be here leading in worship next Sunday morning. It'll be a wonderful concert that you won't want to miss. So next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, come out and enjoy some wonderful music here at First Baptist Elon next Sunday morning at 11. And then in 2 weeks from today, First Baptist Elon will host our community Thanksgiving service for our Elon churches. This is something our community always looks forward to, and we are our host site this year for our Elon churches. It'll be at 3 o'clock on November 17th. This is a little bit different time and a little bit different way than we've done it in the past, and we're excited to be able to host this year. So mark your calendar for November 17th at 3 o'clock here in our sanctuary for our community Thanksgiving service. It will be a wonderful time. Many other things going on. Check your November newsletter. But we gather here today to worship our King, to worship Him in song and in word. Let's sing praise to Him this day.
Our opening hymn this morning is "Come Thou Almighty King." Let's stand and worship together.
This morning, our opening scripture reading is Psalm 24. Listen to these words. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. He is the one we lift up praise to this day. Pray with me this morning. God of secret purposes and extravagant blessings, we come to praise you. We come because we want to. We sing our songs because we are glad to. We pray for your grace because we need to. And we ask for the love of Christ in our hearts because without it, we are a dead loss. Please lift every shutter within our mind and open every door within our soul that you, the Lord of glory, the God of countless hosts, may come in. We lift this prayer through Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn, let's stand and sing, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
For centuries, the Christian Church has set aside November 1st, All Saints Day, to remember the saints among them in our lives who have passed away and that gained everlasting life in heaven. All Saints' Day is the day that we are called to remember. It's a day that we are called to reflect. It's a day that we're called to celebrate. Today, as we gather here at First Baptist Elon, we want to remember. We want to reflect, but we also want to celebrate. Each year here at First Baptist, we set aside the Sunday closest to November 1st, which was this past Friday, as All Saints Sunday. Many churches will gather on November 1st, whatever day it is, but most Christian churches will gather the Sunday following November 1st and celebrate All Saints Day. So as we gather here, as the body of believers here at First Baptist Elon, know that there are Christians across the world gathering just like we are today, remembering their saints, remembering those family members, remembering those friends, and just as we will today, light a candle in their honor. This past year, our church family has lost 6 loved ones, 6 family members. And this morning, we will light a candle in each of their honor. But as you look at our table today, you'll notice there is a 7th candle. There is a candle in the middle beside our Christ candle, a 7th candle that represents the family members and the friends that maybe you have in your life that have passed away this past year, or maybe someone that you've been holding on to in your heart and mind for some time. When we come to that candle at the very end, I'm going to give you the opportunity to lift that name up to God, to us as a family, so we can remember them as well. But today, we remember. Today, we reflect. But today, we also celebrate. Let us remember our saints this morning. This morning, we remember Brenda Huffines. This morning, we remember David Wong. This morning, we remember Susie Lauer. This morning, we remember Warner Eckman. This morning, we remember Grace Hill. This morning, we remember Aline Atwood. As we think about those 6 names, the impact they had here at First Baptist Elon, remember the impact that they had on our lives as well. And that impact doesn't stop. It keeps going. And we remember. And we give thanks. And we celebrate. Now, at this time, we come to that last candle. That candle represents the loved ones in our lives that we've lost this past year or in past years that we are holding on to and that we want to lift up to God right now. If you have a name that you would like to lift up, I give you the opportunity to speak it at this time.
My nephew, a retired fireman, Charlie West.
Mary Ann Worthen.
Cynthia Colson.
George
Sue Ellen Leonard. This morning we light this final candle in honor of those names that have been spoken, but in honor of the names that have not been spoken either. I would ask the congregation, if able, please stand in honor of the names that we have spoken this day. Would you bow with me in prayer? Living God, in whom there is no shadow or change, we thank you for the gift of life eternal and for all those who, having served you well, now rest from their labors. We thank you for all the saints remembered and forgotten, for those dear souls most precious to us. Today we give thanks for those our church family have lost this past year. Brenda, David, Susie, Warner, Grace, and Aline. We bless you for their life and love and rejoice for them in that all is well and all manner of things will be well. Holy God, mindful of all those choice souls who have gone on ahead of us, teach us in each 21st century disciple of every race and place to follow their example to the best of our ability, to feed the poor in body or spirit, to support and comfort the mourners and the repentant, to encourage the meek and stand with them in crisis, to affirm those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, to cherish and learn from the merciful, to be humbled by and stand with the peacemakers. Let us clearly recognize what it means to be called the children of God and to know we are to be your saints here on earth, neither by our own inclination nor in our own strength, but simply by the call and the healing holiness of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Following the worship service today, I know we have family members here of the candles that are lit here. You're invited to come forward following the service to take that candle home with you. Allow it to be a reminder not just of this service, but of that individual, that loved one, that we lit a candle in honor of them today. You may be seated, and at this time, I'll call on John Hines to come for our offertory prayer.
May we pray. God of all generations, as we worship today, we offer our whole selves to you, all that we have and all that we are. Like your saints who have gone before us, we pray that you will help us be bold in our mission and in our witness. May we who have been given so much give freely, ministering in your compassion to the multitudes near to us and far from us. Bless these gifts and the giver. And we pray this in the name of our Savior and Redeemer, Christ our Lord. Amen.
Jerry, can you turn the lights on? We can't see. And God said, let there be light. One of the reasons I chose the special that we're doing today is two choir members were two of the saints, and Susie Louder loved the song Give Thanks. And so I'm doing this in honor of her. And so.
Thank you.
I didn't know how I was going to lead into this time of prayer prior to our sermon today. Didn't know if I was going to lead in with a joke or if I didn't really know what I was going to lead into. I said, how many of you knew there was an election coming up? Anybody? That was my joke.
Bad
one. That's why I didn't know if that was the way to lead into it. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you are the comforter and advocate who was present with the disciples after Jesus ascended to heaven. We pray for an openness to your work in and through us. May we resist the temptation to get caught up in fruitless arguments and defensiveness. Strengthen us to serve our world and uphold one another, to put the needs and suffering of others ahead of ourselves. Especially during this divisive season, we pray for a gentle and loving spirit, like that of Christ who lives and reigns with the Father and Holy Spirit as one. O Father, you who hear our prayers, sanctify us for your good purposes, we pray. Show us how to love our neighbor as ourselves, even those who disagree with us, as you have commanded us. May we be leery of any unity that is used to manipulate and silence others, especially the least of these. When we find ourselves tempted to dismiss others' thoughts and their experiences, create in us the ability to seek understanding rather than to pronounce judgment, as well as the ability to see the humanity in others. Manifest in us the ability to think beyond our own political interests and to consider the interests of those who are different from us. God of Shalom, you said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Today we bring to you our burdens, our uncertainties, and our anxieties. When we cannot sleep, when our minds won't slow down, on the days when our palms are sweaty and our hearts race, when our imaginations get the best of us and we are full of despondency and anxiety about the future, calm our hearts, O Lord. In you alone, our soul finds rest. In this chaotic world, we lay all our burdens at your feet, and we find safety and protection in your kingdom. Almighty God, prepare our hearts and minds as we arrive at Election Day. We express gratitude for the right to vote, and we lament the brokenness of our democracy and voting system, a system that continues to suffer from inequity. Empower us, O Lord, to make decisions rooted in the ways of Jesus rather than the ways of the world. Give us wisdom and discernment as we cast our votes with a humble spirit, and let our voting be an act of prayer. May we be reminded that the candidates we vote for are not our saviors, but you are the bringer of the heavenly kingdom, and our ultimate hope rests in you. We commend this nation to your care in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Good morning. Thank you for joining us for worship on this November Sunday morning. What a special time we had early in the service as we remembered those saints that our church family has lost this past year, and the names of our family and friends that we have lost. It was my initial intention to preach a sermon on this All Saints Recognition Day this morning and how we all have the shared privilege to live our lives rooted in Christ's love, just as the saints that who have gone before us. And I encourage you to read the scripture passage that's in your bulletin today. I have a full sermon written on that passage. And let me just be completely honest with you. It would be a lot easier for me to preach that sermon today. But as a senior pastor that guides a flock, it would be remiss of me to avoid what is going on in our country right now. And so, I preach to you a sermon, I will tell you, the third sermon that I have written this week on this very topic. And it is very rare, and Jennifer will tell you this, it is very rare that I have my wife read my sermon before I preach it on Sunday. And I do that because she is a member of this congregation, and I don't want to give away everything I'm going to say on Sunday morning. I want it to be fresh for her as a church member. But I had her read this sermon yesterday, and she's much wiser than I am. And she gave some thoughts, and I made some changes. And over the past couple of days, I've had the opportunity to watch sporting events and TV. And if you're like me, during this time, you've been completely bombarded by commercials for every possible political candidate. Some of those candidates I will be voting for on Tuesday, and others I will not be voting for on Tuesday. But what has caught my attention was that most of the commercials that I have watched have attempted to make me fearful of the outcome or the opposing candidate if that opponent were to win. I certainly did not feel better about myself or my country as a result of watching a dozen or two dozen or three dozen of these commercials. And that's not to mention the mailers that come in your mailbox, or the emails that you get, or the wonder and the joy of the new political text messages that you get. From walking to my office to this door, I got three text messages. Three. Within a 3-minute time period. And yes, I know if you vote early, 24 hours later, you know, you aren't supposed to get them. I haven't voted yet. I'll vote on Tuesday. But three in a 5-minute time period from there to there. Did you know that this election, just for the federal races alone, will spend $2.6 billion in advertising? Billion, that's with a B. That breaks the record. Big surprise there. Think about how many hungry individuals that money could feed. Think about how many shelters for the homeless that could provide. Think about the recovery efforts for those in the path of natural disasters that could provide. Assistance for the poor, you name it. $2.6 billion. And if you're like me, most of that mailers went straight from your mailbox straight into the recycling bin. Did you know Tuesday's election day? And for the past months, candidates have been trying to do and say anything possible, both ethical and unethical, to win their elections, whether it be local, state, or national levels. I was just curious this week, and after doing a brief and simple Google search — you do not want to do this search, by the way, don't do it, but I did it — on who a Christian should vote for in this election. That's what I Googled. That's a mistake. Don't do it. I did it. I'm going to share you the results. The first site told me why evangelical Christians — Baptists are evangelical Christians, if you did not know that. The first site told me why evangelical Christians have no choice but to vote for Donald Trump. The second site told me why evangelical Christians have no choice but to vote for Kamala Harris. The third site, no joking aside, told me why evangelical Christians have no choice but to stay at home and not vote at all. That's a lot of have no choices, right? There are voices in our heads that are practically yelling at us, you must do it this way or you are wrong. I personally think our enemy, Satan, we use this time to get in our heads and cause us to despair, or even worse, to cause us to lash out in ways which are not Christ-like against other people we normally would not lash out against at all over an election. An election that may be important today, but that one day when we are all worshiping God in heaven, it will take its place in a long list of things which did not matter as much as we thought it did. And you may not agree with me, and that's okay. When it comes to the issues of the day, many of us have strong opinions. I do. And I would encourage each of you, as I plan to do, to vote if you have not already to do, and plan your vote as Christ-like as you can. But remember, when it comes to the candidates and the political parties, those issues we hold dear become bogged down in people we do not know, saying what they think we want to hear, all so we can cast our vote for them. I think this contributes to our anxiety and stress as Americans, believers and non-believers alike. Elections have started to divide rather than unite. Even Christians think that the real enemy is the other party. When the Bible clearly states in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our eyes become so divided that we fail to see who still reigns. We forget repeatedly that our God is sovereign and in control every election season. Yet again, we have forgotten. That is why today, sitting on the precipice of Election Day, a highly stressful time which seems to be pointing towards more division, I want to preach today a message of encouragement and hope. Because trust me, between now and whatever time on Tuesday night or Wednesday or Thursday, you're not going to hear a lot of encouragement or hope. No matter who is on the American throne in the near future, rest assured, God is on his throne today, tomorrow, and for eternity. That's not going to change. And because of that, not because of the results on Tuesday, but because of his sovereignty, I know that it is all going to be okay. It's going to be okay. God is either worth trusting and having faith in, or he isn't. I stand today and I say he is. I know that whatever happens, I can trust that God will still be on his throne no matter what happens. I can trust that God will still be on his throne next week because his promises are still true. His platform is pure. His morality is perfect. His standards are high. His glory is worth all of our worship today, tomorrow, most especially on Tuesday, and every day until I enter his kingdom. If you agree with me, that deserves an amen. Amen. So today, turn with me to a text which I hope will remind us to keep our hopes on God and not on a man or a woman or a political party. Turn to Psalm 97 with me. With me this morning. The words will be displayed on the screen behind me. Listen to these words. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. All who worship images are put in shame. Those who boast in idols worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. One thing about politicians and elections is that things change. Politicians change according to what their constituents want to hear. Today, I want to stop talking about them and start talking about the one who we are to trust, the one we are to boast about, the one we are to gather around and worship, the one who is the sovereign God of the universe. With our God, things do not change willy-nilly, and he is the one today and is always worthy of our hope and praise. Let's look at a few of the reasons why. The first reason why is this: simply because of the majesty of the Lord. When the president enters a room, there is a song which traditionally plays, which is called Hail to the Chief. And everyone in that room stands. According to verses 1 and 2, when God is on the throne, the entire created order responds. The American people will gather for inauguration in January, but for God's rule, the entire created world celebrates. If you want evidence of a divine orchestrator, just step outside in the fall right now. Created order is celebrating God. You will see little of any evidence of a political party that does that. They want you to vote for you, but you will see more evidence that you can process of who God has made you and who God wants you to be and why he is so good. The earth rejoices over the kingdom of our Lord, and the clouds gather around the king on his throne. In a little less than 2 months, we will celebrate the arrival of baby Jesus 2 millennia ago with songs like Away in a Manger. But the picture of the majesty of God is like none other. If we could gather all the greatest kings, rulers, and presidents in one room, they would fail to make any impression compared to the majesty of God. And don't miss the last part of verse 2. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. He is good, perfect, and just. He opposes evil and will visit justice upon those who are evil. Both parties in our country claim to represent righteousness, but the only one who truly does this every single day for every single individual that he has created is God, our King. And if you disagree with me, we can talk. That's another sermon. That's sermon number 2 that I've typed. The second reason that we can have hope in God this election season is this. It's because we should have a healthy fear of our Lord. Fire goes before him. Lightning lights up the world. And the mountains melt like wax. I cannot imagine seeing one of these, let alone all three, at the very same time. It has been said that we fear men so much because we fear God so little. And yes, men can affect our lives in great ways through political decisions. Don't get me wrong, they can. But Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. This fear could be seen at the base of Mount Sinai when God revealed himself to the people of Israel and they said, please don't do that again. Let me cover my eyes. Some have said that their political party and its leaders have somehow saved Christianity in our country. I think we tend to forget the greatness and vastness of the glory of God, a God who deserves our respect and deserves our fear. For those that know, it is only God who does the saving. There is nothing in God's glory that we could deem approachable to save. Yes, the Lord is good and perfect. He does not need saving. If you disagree with me, that was sermon number 3. He is God. If we can remember that, it should help us remember who is worthy of worship and that all others come miserably short of his glory. A healthy fear. That brings us to the third reason, which is the glory of the Lord. Verses 6 and 7 echo what is in verse 1. But what we also see here is the acknowledgement that despite the glory of the Lord, there are those who worship worthless things in the world. There are those who put hope in rubbish. These things cannot save, cannot give hope, cannot intercede, and cannot do eternal good. In our society, these things may not be graven images as we see in the Bible, but these things are still present today. Whether we are talking about paper and plastic that are in our wallets and our purses, belongings in our house, cars in our driveway, or other things to replace the true King as the objects of our worship, they draw us from Him. Even political candidates. Yet the heavens, that is the inhabitants of the heavens, the saints that we honored today who have passed on, and the many others proclaim him as righteous and see his glory. If we are citizens of the heavenly kingdom today, it must be God's righteousness and glory which we see today on November 3rd and then on November 5th, on Election Day, and November 6th and 7th, and so on. Whether my candidate or your candidate wins an election or not, it is his righteousness and glory that we should honor and be on display. All other images of worship are put to shame. The fourth reason that we can have hope in God this election season is the joy of the Lord. The majestic descriptions we see painted in verses 8 and 9 call for a response. And what was Zion's reaction? Zion hears and rejoices. Why? Because of his judgment. Because he is the Most High over all the earth, exalted far above all other gods. Those who are on God's side rejoices. He does not ebb and flow. He does not lose an election. He does not change with the wind of the culture wars. God is eternal, the unchanging one, the Ancient of Days. We do not have to worry that God will wither from attacks. No one will ever find dirt on God. No one can ever dig up a bad interview in which God slipped up. He was here long before we were, and we will worship him for eternity if we are found in him through Jesus Christ. God's final victory has already been tasted in advance. Through God's word, we can see the joyous outcome for those who know him. What more can be said? What more can be added to our lives that we have not already been promised? We may look forward to hopefully seeing our desired candidates be sworn in a few short months, but will that add to our eternity? We may worry that things will not go our way this week, but will that take away from what we have been given from Him? The fifth reason that we can have joy and hope in God this election season is his platform. And that is the love and the hate of our Lord. Finally, if you want to be in God's party, then here is the platform in verses 10 and 11. Love good and hate evil. Love what God loves and hate what God hates. This is where it hits home with some of our political parties today. There is guilt on both sides. Over the last few months, especially the last few weeks, there has not been a lot of love being spoken, but there has been a lot of hate. Again, I do not want to offend anyone. I think my goal today was probably to offend absolutely everybody, because I knew my sermon was going to go over length and nobody would stop and talk to me as you left. No, all joking aside, that wasn't my goal. You have the right to disagree with me, but even in disagreement, know I love you. There is guilt on both sides, but I want to be found on a side which no guilt can be attributed to, and that is to follow God all of my life. I choose God's side. That's my side. We have these promises in verse 10. He preserves our lives. He delivers us from the wicked. He gives light. He gives joy. God isn't sitting in a capital where he does not know our plight, does not know our name, does not know what our cares and concerns are. He is intimately familiar with you. And his promises are not only true, but they are for you, directly to you today. You can count on him. Because of that, we have been called to worship him. That's why I choose his side. Which brings me to our conclusion. Verse 12 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name." May we not wait until his revealed victory to worship, because this verse tells us, calls us to rejoice, worship, give thanks as if his final victory was already accomplished. One day we shall see it. It is already in the bag. Until that time, however, verse 12 is our response. And is our participation as citizens of a heavenly kingdom that is so much more important than this earthly kingdom. Whatever happens on Tuesday, if you want guaranteed victory, join God's party. He will never let you down. As we approach election day and the days that will follow, may we remember we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom, first, citizens of this earthly kingdom of America, second. May our rhetoric and our actions reflect that this election season, really every single season. So I encourage you to pray for Tuesday. Pray for Election Day. I also encourage you to pray for the days that will follow Election Day. But I also want to remind you, don't forget who you're praying to, because that's the side we all should be on. Let's pray right now. Father, thank you. Thank you for being the side that we can turn to and never be let down. Thank you for showing us truth and honesty where we can find joy and hope and encouragement in a divisive and a testy world. Father, thank you for being present and knowing each one of us intimately in a way that we can't even begin to understand, but we can just embrace and love. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for unity in you. Father, thank you for always being present. Amen. So come to our time of invitation today. Maybe you've been seeking out the one who is always present for you, Jesus Christ has been there for you every step of the way, and he's here for you right now. I'll be down front to embrace you and share who Christ is and what it is to embrace him as your Savior. Maybe you're looking for a church family that seeks to, in the midst of this divided and divisive world, that we seek to come together on his side. That's what First Baptist Elon is all about. Or maybe today you just have a lot of questions. You've been praying, or you're struggling with something. I'll pray with you. If you come down front, the altar is open. Our deacons will be willing to pray with you. Whatever you're struggling with today, lift it up to God. Don't put it off. Pray today, because he is here, and he is here for you. Let's stand and sing. That the one who is in control is still in control. Today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next. Go out in peace, and I hope I'll see you this afternoon for all the ministries going on.